Let us move forward in our dissertation. Take out the document we have been laboring now well over a year or so. Repeat after me: Scripture comprehensions and measures. The matrix. Let's go where we were last week, to the bottom of page 28. And for those that are watching or listening to our casting, we are thanking God that He has certainly blessed us to be able to reach many far beyond these walls. If you go into those, that is those that are watching, to our website links, the audio or video sector, the webcast, you will see an icon, and if you will engage it, this document is available in its entirety, some 60 pages, which is phase one. I should have said part one of the matrix. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Let's take our Bibles and our base theme for this sector we were in last week is found in Romans chapter 8. In addition to that, this morning I was inspired. Deacon Gavin was teaching in the Bible Sunday morning. We call it Sunday school lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to look at verse 19 and 20. There are a few nuggets we might want to dig out of there. The bottom of page 28, into the section, and repeat after me, conceded scenarios.
Conceded scenarios.
In physicality, secularity measures the matrix.
In physicality, secularity measures the matrix.
Now, what I want to do here is, because of some terminology that we use, give some definitions. We speak of something being conceited. We're talking about an exaggeration, something that's shown to be excessive, especially when you're talking about an opinion of abilities and appearances of things, the intelligence of mankind. We'll deal with that this morning. Conceited. Scenarios. That is, that imagine a projected sequence of events, especially any of several detailed possibilities, descriptions of scenes and characters, and you put the two together, you've got an excessive or exaggerated scenery that is before you, based upon something that we're looking at and we have assessed and given some projection as to what it is. Another word is the word feign. That is that which is pretentious. Some disguise, a sham. Something that is assumed. Actually counterfeit. Yes. The next word is innovatory. That is to introduce something as new. We say innovative, you know, something new, original, make change in something established. And this is how our minds run in talking about humankind. Amen. You know, it's like God he partially designed some things, and then he just said, "Well, step back now and see what you guys are going to do with it." You know, that's our concept, and this is what makes us so nervous concerning life.
Right.
Amen. The last one is vagaries. That is that which is unpredicted, some erratic action, occurrences. You know, something that happens on a whim. Another word that's given there, amen, scientifically, is quirk. You know, that little small, broken down characterization that's given to that's given to subatomic particles. In other words, you have you have the atom, and then it's broken down to the neutrons, electrons, and protons, and then as you speak of the neutrons and the protons, he said they're broken down into quarks. And then when you ask which they have their own characteristics, and then you ask the average scientist about that, and he doesn't know. That's if he's honest. You know, because the same thing will act different ways at different times. And if it's the same thing, then you should be able to predict what it's going to do. But that deals with the vagaries of life. Nothing is predictable. Amen. And God does that to show us, teach us some things, to lay out some things before us, so that we don't think that, you know, there's something that we have put into the formula cause things to work out. Amen. Now here's the situation. As we deal with the matrix and we understand again what is the matrix that is a grid of representations of things and what we see is life, which is only reflectors, amen, of the light, amen, of God shining forth of the light that he possesses, that comes out of him and moves out of spirituality into physicality, and of course it's into this medium, and it depending upon what angle you're looking at is what you see or you think you see. This is what we call life or the matrix. So we speak of the matrix, we're talking about a field of representations of things as they are supposedly conveying to us some thoughts of how things are and how things operate. But we only depend upon any of that. Amen. Our source of comprehension must always be in the essence of us receiving the revelation of light, and based upon what God has said is the essence of what a thing is, rather than what we think we see. And we must treat life that way if there's ever to be any peace and serenity, confident in our walk. Now, last week we were into the sector there in Romans chapter 8. Let's go back there very quickly, verse 5 and 6. Then I want to divert for a minute, not actually divert, but actually link this with that passage that Deacon Gavin had us in Sunday school this morning. in 1 Corinthians. But let's go to Romans first. Everyone has Romans. Just turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Everybody say amen. Now, when you're into Romans, if you don't understand, and I said basically to you in the Bible study Wednesday night that at some point we're going to divert and go back, do a completion of that document, the last five parts, scriptural what? Distinctions of what? Actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. Understand this. What you see are manifestations. What you view in life, what you call life in the matrix, are basically representations there of something. A thing actually exists in God, in Christ. All things are what? Colossians 1:16, in Him. What? Through Him. What? For Him. Let's do that again. In Him, through Him, for Him. And that's the reason behind everything that pops up. Basically, God has use for it. That's why it's in any frame that your conscious move through, and there's something there, God has placed it there. There's a reason for everything that's happening in your life. And it is in Him, even though it's reflected there, that's not where it is, it's in Him. And it is through Him, that means it didn't come out of left field. It didn't just pop up. And it is for Him. God is a God of purpose. There's a reason that is there. And amen. The purpose is God's purpose. Our problem is we seem to focus concentrically on ourselves and think and look within ourselves for the reason of things. None of us live to ourselves. None of us die to ourselves. Romans chapter 14 makes that very plainly. Amen. We are a property of the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, the purpose is to the Lord.
Amen.
Not our purpose. Not what we're doing. Not what we're thinking. Our lives are not about us. That's tough. That's going to be the toughest thing for God's people to really, really, really grasp. That your life every day is not about the routine that you're going through. The processes of your life are components of God's purpose. They are not purpose within themselves. Where you live, where you work, who your family and friends are, were assigned to you.
Thank God.
For God's purpose. Life is about Christ. Your life is Christ. Your life is not about you.
Amen.
That's going to be the toughest thing for us to comprehend.
Thank God.
Then another thing is, what we call life, that's not the actualized essence of things. Life is about Christ, and life is in His Word.
That's right. Wow.
What He has said and spoken is what exists. By the time we see it, or see some representation of it, that's the reflector.
Yes, it is.
That's what you see in the mirror. That's the echo of what it is. The essence of our lives in Him. Everybody say in Him.
Yeah.
And you see in Him, in Christ, in God, you see that throughout. There are a plethora of terms in the scriptures telling you where things are. the locale of things are all about Him. So what our gospel does, the message of grace, the grace covenant, His conveyances are about the essence of life, which is in Christ, which is in the spiritual realm, not the physical sphere.
Amen.
So we have the scripture, basically our gospel, the grace covenant. Everybody said the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
It basically shows the separation or the difference between spirituality, which is that which is in actualization, and physicality. That's those things that are basically in testimony.
Yes. Amen.
Temporarily. And the difference between the major difference there, the things that are seen, the physical, is temporary. The thing that is unseen, the spiritual, is
eternal.
Why is one eternal and the other one temporary? I should say, which one is the real deal? The unseen, the spiritual. This is what the scripture is trying to convey unto us. You're looking for security, something to have confidence in. It must be in things spiritual.
Amen.
Because there are no assurances in physical things. Now, Elder, why don't you read verses 5 and 6, and that is Romans chapter 8. I'm going to briefly maybe reprise some things that I conveyed last week, and then I'm anxious to move into that other area because it ties in here with these conceited scenarios that are in the matrix. Oh my God. All right? Everyone has Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Read a read.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 5th verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Okay, now they used to teach us that has something to do with you're all in the earthly venue and basically your mindset. But I got a spiritual mindset, or what I got a fleshly mindset, and I get into some trance. Spiritual. No, don't ever confuse mysticism with spirituality. The mystical. Alright, read.
Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
This is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where we must drop the gauntlet and make a very pronounced line of demarcation between what is there and what's not there.
Right.
What is there is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
What is not there is temporarily because it never was there. That's the difference between spirituality and physicality. This scene, it never was there. And this is why Pastor Paul writes to the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. He said, don't look at that. Don't mind that. Don't prioritize. Because it's not there.
No.
Pastor, are you saying that what I'm looking at is not there? Not in the truest sense of what you call in being there. Because if it's there, it's there. And if it's there one moment and gone the next, that's because it was never there. like in the Matrix, you know, and the guy said, oh, pump, this, well, he says, it's not there. He says, so I was trying to tell you. He said, but I felt it. That was in your mind. You know that scene from the Matrix. Basically, our thoughts. And we must understand this, because there's something out there that will worry you to death. I'm just using the vernacular there. There are things out there that will blow your mind. Make you have the worst day you ever had. And it's not even about anything. Not in the true essence of whether it's actually there. Now let's go to the Greek there. Interlinear there in verse 5 and 6. Follow us now, because we're going to move through these conceited scenarios, because there's some things that happened this week that we need to have some assurances about.
Right.
You're not going to hop on that train of those that folk trying to save the world.
Yeah.
I mean in a literal sense. Now, we're not even going to hop aboard that train of those who are going to, quote, save the world in a religious sense.
That's true. That's true.
All right, read.
Romans 8, chapter 8, beginning with the fifth verse in the interlinear Greek text. For the, according to flesh, being the things of the flesh, mine.
Stop. Here we have the Greek verb there, basically, that's phronousing, mind, be of the mindset. Where's your mindset? Here he's saying to those that are enthralled in physicality, it's the physical. What is real or realized in physicality to them is the essence of what things are. Read.
But the according to spirit.
Here you have basically what we call a strong, what we haven't called here, I'm sorry, we have what we call here an adversative, not a strong adversative, but this is an adversative. But the what? According to spirit, what?
But the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
Spirit. Spirit. And this is what these exercises are. As we come into the scriptures, come into these to the house of God, this is what Bible study, and this is what actually preaching and teaching should be about.
Sure.
Not only just teaching, but preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching should never be entertainment.
That's it. Amen.
There are plenty of places you can go to be entertained. You can go to the Palace of Auburn Hills. You can go down to Joe Louis Arena. You can go to Ford Field. Other places we can go, which are wholesome things to do. Church is not an entertainment center. Church is a learning center. If you never shout a quote, get your praise on, you know, get up on your feet, which is fine. I have no problem with that. Except while you're here, get something in your spirit. Because
yeah.
There's something out there waiting on you.
Hallelujah.
That doesn't care about your last shout.
Come on here.
You know how that shout of Peter out, you remember in the Old Testament, children, the elderly, they went through the Red Sea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they got on the other side. and the Miriam and the, all of the women, they took the instruments out. And it's okay. I love Haiti and I love to have a good time. But, you know, you had 3 hours of shouting and you had 3 minutes of verse. Something wrong with that. Because they had a good time, didn't they, on the other side. The Red Sea closed and the one they had church, didn't they? 3 days in the wilderness. They got hungry, they got thirsty. They got tired and they got disillusioned because they didn't have anything in their spirits. Because that last shout was gone because of where it came from. It's okay to shout as long as you know what you're shouting about. There's something that's been received into your spirits. Now, verse 6 deals with the ultimate benefit of spirituality over physicality. The ultimate benefit of spirituality over physicality. Break it down. The ultimate benefit of the unseen, eternal, over the seen, temporary. Read that verse 6.
For the mind of the flesh, death, but the mind of
the mindset and focus of that which is physical is ultimate separation.
That's it. Amen.
It's temporary. You know what temporary means? Not long.
That's right.
Even in life. You know, last week the ex-policeman, I guess whatever he thought they did to him, you know, that was the cause of for some type of retaliatory actions. And that's a mindset that's focused primarily in physicality.
That's it. Amen. Yeah.
Your life is not about a job.
That's it.
Your life is not about your residence, your home. Ultimately, your life is not about your family and friends. What is your life?
Christ.
Read the last part of that.
For the mind of the flesh, death, but the mind of the spirit, life and peace.
Life and peace. The spirit, the spirituality, the unseen.
Amen.
That which is unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable. That which is first. You were in Christ before you were ever manifested in these bodies. And you have never left Christ. That's who you are. If you don't understand that, as we move through this 8th chapter of Romans, you won't have the faintest idea what Paul is talking about. Some of it will seem like double talk. Especially you get down with the boundary of verse 9 and he says you're not in physicality. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. What are you talking about? He's talking about the eternal you. Son position. In Christ. Ephesians 1 and 4, when? For the foundation of the world. That's you.
That's right. That's right.
And we must understand these things because something happens to the house. Something happens to my possessions.
Oh, yes.
Something happens to my family.
Yep.
Something happens to me in this life. Has my existence in Christ been altered? No. That's what he's talking about. One is temporary and ultimately separated. Death. You move through that last frame in the matrix, what we call life. Boom. That part of you in relationship to that experience of your consciousness is past. That has no bearing on who you were and are. You are because you were. Amen. What does before the foundation of the world mean? Our definition of salvation is flawed. We think of it as a fire escape. We think of it as avoiding some potential evil. Salvation means that you were never in jeopardy. Not you. Jesus in demonstration said, you destroy this body, I'll raise it up in 3 days. I'll manifest that you didn't really do anything. Because that's not what it's about. And all we're getting there is conceited scenarios. When we're looking at physicality and we're taking that thing prima facie. That is exaggerated, imaged projections of events and things and occurrences of what's really happening. That's not what's happening. These are testimonies for purpose. Your life is beyond the thing that is around you. Let's go to the bottom of page 28. Again, conceited scenarios in physicality, secularity measures, the matrix, are to say exaggerated appearances of events. Exaggerated appearances of events in life. if I'm just going to break that down. Exaggerated appearances. Something that is shown to be more than what it is. All right, as we get into this paragraph, for many, feigned achievements. Everybody said feigned achievements. That which is feigned, going back to our definitions, pretentious. Something that is disguised, assumed as achievements or something that is accomplished. Because we're looking at things within themselves. What is the issue? Innovatory possibilities. Innovatory. Something new. That is original. And we think that things are happening, these, amen, exaggerated events and appearances are originations of themselves. In other words, we think that this is life that is just now popping up before us. Concerning you is predetermined, predesigned, pre-planned. Oh my God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
purpose. Everybody said for purpose.
For purpose.
So we have these frame achievements, and they issue innovatory possibilities in artificial intelligence. Remember we went, that's in the front of the book there, some mechanized, you know, we think of it in terms of machinery in relationship to maybe a computer or some machine that's operating on its own. But basically, it's according to human design, but it's artificial because we have transferred that intelligence to that apparatus or that mechanism. Here we're talking about basically things that occur or appear as though they are of their own intelligence, which is everything outside the realm of what God has designed, predetermined. Yes, predestination. Someone said to me, you all preach predestination? So that's incredible. And the question is, then you preach things operate on their own? Of their own accord? With purposes within themselves? Did God partially create the world and now he's waiting for us to fill in the gaps? Follow this. For many famed achievements issue innovatory possibilities in artificial intelligence as the most exciting frontier in life or in physicality, secularity measures the matrix. In this mode, these so-called ideal technologies are of paramount importance therein. As leading theorists and practitioners engaging in continuous dialogues with hypothetical parameters engaged major contributions, indulges in dignities and values, listen, of life vagaries. What are vagaries? What are vagaries? Unpredictable event. Let's trace this back. So here you're putting value on things that by your own admission are erratic and unpredictable. Yet you're saying you're contributing to them. If you actually have some contribution to them, then you can control them. But here, these are vagaries. They are erratic. They're whims. They can't be both whim and something that we control. We either control the things around us or we don't, and we know we don't. That thing that you tried to do this week, you were dependent upon this week, and it blew up in your face. It went the opposite way. Well, let you know. It's, well, you know, I prayed and then, you know, it's like, you know, God has left some things undone out there, and then, of course, how well you please him, convince him, he'll come in and, you know, he may put his hand out there and he may stop that thing, he may change that thing around, or he may not, depending upon how good a case you made in your petition. No wonder we're basket cases. No wonder we're so nervous. That's not what that thing's about. Follow this. Endeavors in these syntheses are merely superfluously exhibited in the testimonial intuits of pointless temporariness. I wonder what we're saying there. As you out there, you try to do this and that and so forth there in your endeavors, they're superficial. What possible input you can put in chance? If things are about chance. Chance encounters, chance occurrences. If they're chance, you say, well, if I throw my hat in the ring, you know that it might hit me. If I put my input in when it's just flung out there, maybe some of it will stick to me. Or come to me. That's what keeps us up at night. Listen, God has individual plans for individual lives. Everything concerning you, touching you, amen, is actually customized for you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank reason to hit you and didn't hit your neighbor, because it wasn't for you, it wasn't for him.
Hallelujah.
And vice versa, if it hit your neighbor and didn't hit you, because it wasn't for you. This is what we must understand here.
Mm-hmm.
At least we get out here and we get all caught up on these things, and our lives become erratic.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we begin to think things and that are not. These spectacles compel the following queries or questions. Follow this. Are such procedures beneficial to, are such pervasive humanisms actual occupations comprising life or matrix operations? Does what you do actually make a difference? No. Say, well, you say a lot supposed to do nothing? No, no. You are going to do what has been predesigned for you to do. But realize that what you do is only a component of the matter.
Yes.
Not a determinant of the matter.
Not.
Do we determine things? No.
That's right.
Remember now, Colossians 1:16, what? In him? Through him? What? For him. Where does it mention anyone else? All things. All means all. It doesn't. Questions. Who or what qualify workings in this medium? What qualifies production in life? Now, what you do is a part of the process. And here we must not confuse the process with the purpose. What you do is part of the testimony, and you're on a component of that which is predesigned, and you are only moving in response to that which has been laid out for you to do, and you can't do any more or any less. Amen. And I can tell you that the end of that thing already exists and has existed from eternity. Oh, give God the praise.
Amen.
Well, then I shouldn't do anything. You're going to do what you're going to do. Just don't depend upon you and what you can do are doing. Do it, but you're not dependent upon that. You're dependent upon the essence of the one who loved you.
Yes. Thank God. Yes.
And who you are part of.
Yes. Glory to God.
As members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, that thing is going exactly the way God designed it in eternity. No other way. God's will is what? Nothing more, what? Nothing less, what? Nothing else than what He has decreed. Otherwise, we have, well, you see, God has two wills. He has a permissive will and He has a... God's will is God's will. Oh, no, no. See, some theologian, and of course, I've got a lot of respect, and he says Spurgeon and some of the others. I'm not saying Spurgeon said that. I don't remember which one of them wrote that. But you go and you read the commentary, and the preacher comes out in the pulpit and he preaches that, and then that's what you take for Scripture. No, you don't. That thing, whatever it is, it has existed from eternity. All of creation, including all events, have already been what? Created. There exists. Because all creation is what? In Him. It's in the same. It's in God's same. It's there and has been there. And its purpose there. And your conscious is moving through frames, and when it gets there, what's there is already preset. Now you don't have to do second guess and woulda, coulda, shoulda. Wish I had done this, if I hadn't done that, if I did that, and so forth. So there's nothing you could have done but what you as a component did. Whether it was brilliant or stupid. And then God lets us know that sometimes, because we do things, we call it brilliant, and we call them brilliant, and things blow up in our face. Mm-hmm. And then we do something stupid, mm-hmm. and it comes out beautifully. Beautiful. What God is trying to tell us. It's not about you. It's not about you. And these are the things that we must understand. In other words, following this line of inquiry, who and what regulates or codifies structure in fragile authoric rungs of elongated emphasis as contrasted with possessions of what actualized objectives in eternality minds in essence of abiding truth? So we'll pass away. So no. We said the last question we said, in other words, is it about what you did? About what God said. What is existence? What exists? What God is saying. How long has it existed? From eternity. Then why am I going through all of these changes? Because you are a creature that was designed for His purpose. Remember again, what? In Him, what? Through Him, for Him. That messes some of us up that we can't get with that, because we got this ultra high opinion of what humans are, or what we are. And we look at God sometimes as maybe a colleague. Or at least just a companion, someone that you say, well, we say He's a friend, and of course we're using that in anthropomorphic terminology, amen, that was something that does something favorable. So in that case, in that particular sense, yeah, in that particular sense, yeah, because grace is favorable. But we are His handiwork. We are creatures. We are what He has produced.
Yes, indeed.
That's right.
We are not autonomous. We're not independent creatures. We operate on God's dime.
Amen.
Each breath you take, he gives it to you.
Glory to God. Amen.
Every breath.
Thank God.
In fact, he gives it to us one at a time.
That's right.
And I'm reminded of that every time I have an asthma attack.
Glory to God. Thank God.
He gives it to you, you take it in. But guess what? You can only hold it so long. What? You got to give it back. And then he has to give you the next one. And you take it in. And it's like a loan, really. What's the characteristics of a loan? You got to pay it. You got to give it up at some point. It's not yours to keep. It doesn't belong to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your life is not your own.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, help us to understand that he is the essence of our being. As Paul spoke to those Athenians on Mars Hill, in him we what? We live. In him we what? We move. In him what? We are. In him. Everybody say in him. Let's write quickly. I'm gonna be just a little over this morning. Let's go. Hurry up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to touch on it. Chapter 3, verse 19. Well, let's start at 18.
1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse.
18th verse. Everybody got 1 Corinthians 3:18. Amen?
All
right. Quickly.
Let no man deceive himself.
Don't fool yourself.
If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world.
You think you so smart. What?
Let him become a fool.
Let's go to the Greek on that right quick. He said, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let's go to the Greek right quick.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the 18th verse in the interlinear Greek text. No one himself let deceive.
Oh, no, that's why, my God. What is that, Brother Deacon?
An error is imperative, a new voice.
Say it again.
An error is imperative, a new voice.
There's no let anywhere in there. Passive voice. You must not have been deceived. He's talking to God's people now. Because the world is deceived. Read.
No one himself let deceive. If anyone thinks wise to be among you in age this, foolish let him become. Keep reading.
No. Brother Deacon, that Greek word there is lestho. That what is that? They translated become. You got the passive voice there. Actually, become there. Inesto is actually not let him become. Because he just spoke there in the aorist tense, right? Now he's going to go from the aorist tense, which is a completed action, to a probability future action that's controlled by you. So he goes from the passive in the latter to the active, in the former that is, to the active in the latter. That would be double talk, wouldn't it? No, what you are is based upon what was predetermined of you to be. And nothing else could have occurred. So those that determined that they would in predetermination and prearrange comprehensions through knowledge that are not deceived. The ultimate end there is that they are wise concerning the things of life to the point of knowing that all is of God and nothing is of them. In other words, those that God has prearranged for you to understand that life is not about you. The ultimate end is that you acknowledge Him and know that all things are of God. In other words, in the Old Testament, the one that leans not to his understanding, what? He does what? That's the one that acknowledges God. And God directs his path. Because you realize that you don't know.
Amen.
God has caused you to realize that you don't know. Because everybody don't know that they don't know.
They don't know. They don't know.
Some people think that. And you can't tell me the difference. I'm not going to get through this. Let's just read 19 in the King James, and then we'll close out there. We'll come back. This is where we'll start next week. No, I'm not worried about how fast we get through this. Read.
King James.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
You see these conceited scenarios there? You know what leads us to God? Nonsense. It's nonsense. Ludicrous. Oh, I see my time is going. This week, asteroid passed what? 17,000 some odd miles Earth. And you know what? They saw that thing, what, a couple months ago? And you know what? To them, it didn't exist until a couple months ago. Because they looked into the matrix and that's what they saw. How long has that thing been there? From eternity. And it's not there through physicality of that which they saw in manifestation. It was there through God's decree. They haven't told you yet, but a residue portion of it fell off. About the size of a, they said that the asteroids are about the size of a football field. Something about residue about the size of an Olympic swimming pool fell off from it. And it exploded over some parts of Russia. It was maybe 1,000 or 2 people hurt. Another smaller piece fell off. Some hours later, the skies of Northern California lit up as though it was daylight. All the, you know, like it's night, and all of a sudden, it's like it's daylight. So we have all of these projected exaggerations of doom and gloom. Stock market going to collapse. Economics.
Yeah, right.
Ideological. Crime and all of the ills of the world. Geological. We won't be able to sustain famine, starvation, pestilences. Pandemics. Diseases.
Yes.
That we have no cure for. And then on top of that, we got all of these bombardments from outer space. You know what? You can sit down and talk yourself into going crazy if you want to. If you're looking into the matrix on the basis of assessing these things as being the essence of our doom and gloom. No. Foolishness. Someone asked me some weeks ago, remember December the 21st? Remember? It's supposed to be the last day, right? I said, do you actually? I said, no, wait. Let's go to the Word of God.
Amen.
Now we can go into those other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, let's go into Thessalonians and you see what? You see the rapture.
Yes, indeed.
Before any trouble starts.
That's right.
And then when you deal with what's left here, mm-hmm. you got to go into Daniel and Revelation. Every bit of that has to manifest before the earth melts with fervent heat, according to Peter. Now, are we going to look at the conceited scenarios that's in life, that's in the matrix? Are we going to look into the Word of God? When you look in the life, there's chaos. There's enough to blow your mind. Oh, everything is collapsing. When you look into the Word of God, we can sing the song in confidence of eternal enlightenment. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning. Everybody say leaning. On the everlasting arms of God. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning. Can you say leaning? Can you say leaning? On the everlasting arms of God. Safe. Can you say safe?